Hey guys, it's Dan. Welcome back to part two of the three Chippies and two Sparky Tradie HQ podcast panel. This is part two, so I'll follow on from part one, believe it or not. Have a listen, and as always, let us know what you think. Drop some feedback and let me know how I can improve. Thanks, guys. Enjoy. To keep it relevant for our multi-trades, what about marketing, social media, boys? Obviously, that's where I've come across you three anyway. Mm-hmm. And you've all got fairly good social media presences, obviously, especially young Christian here with Tech Built and All for the Trade, etc. Bruce, and yeah. I mean, I think you guys, you know, like you said, I mean, obviously with Daryl and I being Sparks, and we're talking about Daryl's Instagram page and how it's non-existent, and it's just because you guys touched on it. So I mean, once there's not too much that's too glamorous about electrical work, you know, like, oh, there's a Saturn series switch plate.
There's a young Sparky starting up, and I have this perfect thing for us. So this is what you need to do. You don't have to have anything flash. Just every time you install a PowerPoint or install a light, put one of those little levels with your name on it on top of it, and then you take a photo of that. And when it's level and you keep posting, that's what people remember you about.
And dustpan and brush and clean up. I think Sparky's cleaning up is a big one too, isn't it?
About as rare as unicorn shit.
Yeah. Pose with your dustpan and brush.
No, there's a Sparky in New Zealand. He might even be NZ Sparky, but he's up to around 25,000 or something. He does a lot of tool reviews and stuff, but he does a lot of industrial stuff, so he will put up photos of like these switchboards and everything's all neatly cable tied to the track.
I suppose really
Unistrut, and
that's like, the other side. You do actually have to take pride in your work too.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose it really comes down to, again, what client are you after?
Yeah.
Do you know, like,
and what are you using the platform for? What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So who are you trying to reach, and that sort of thing. I suppose for us, the client that I'm looking for, I don't think I'm going to find him on Instagram.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's not really our key go-to place. Yeah. But if you specialise in downlights or pendant lights or LED strip lighting or whatever it might be, then, you know, mums and dads, or I don't know, you want to do bloody lights around makeup mirrors, whatever, for all these Sheila's posts and selfies, then that's spot on. Instagram's a place where you want to be. But yeah,
if you're doing a lot of the solar stuff, that can actually have, like, don't underestimate the power of your image. I think it's probably why Instagram's been pretty big for the trade. If you're up in Onslow or whatever and you've done a big solar array, the sunset over that solar, man, like, it sounds corny, but you will get people's attention with it, and it will grow. Maybe it's Rio Tinto's boss's missus that's sitting there looking at it, and it crops up on her
with the drone shot.
This is the guy we should get to look at. This
well, I'll tell you, this is our particular miner. I posted a picture of a recent project of ours, and we were asked to remove it because they found it online, and we didn't get rights to advertise their project online. So that's the sort of end client that we deal with sometimes. So
and again, talking about legal teams and
scrap what I just said. Don't worry.
I actually posted on my LinkedIn. I got an email from some lady part of marketing department of, you know, our client, and it said you are to remove this post, and you didn't get our approval beforehand, and that, you know, this is our project, it's not your project, so take it down. So it was kind of a bit of a kick in the guts, because I was really proud of it, you know, and there it was, gone.
It shouldn't be like that, but that sucks.
Still your product.
It's in, at the end of the day, this is the way the world's gone. Like, I think there's a lot of people that are probably still in those companies that have a lot of say who don't quite understand it. I know it took a lot of businesses in Perth that I've dealt with a long time to grapple with the fact that they could endeavour into this
social realm media,
because they're worried about the kickback and the backlash that can happen. But I've always explained, it's like, a public complaint is only bad if you don't handle it well. If you handle that public complaint really well, then that's actually going to set you up. It was sort of like admitting your mistakes. When you've made a mistake and you go back and fix it,
it's the exact same
principle.
I think if
you get a public complaint and you handle that really well and you resolve the issue, people see it. They see you resolve the issue publicly, and that'll go a long way for your business.
Yeah, I think another way to look at it was social media is full of know-it-alls, is how I sort of see it. So you post a picture, and
you get judged.
You get judged, but, you know, the end client might be concerned about there being an issue with the job or something like that. Not that that was the case in this instance, but, you know, this because there are so many know-it-alls, everyone goes, oh, why'd you do this like that, or why'd you do that, or how come this is that, or how come... So that, I don't think they want to deal with that side of things as well, which can be quite frustrating, you know. That's how I see it, especially with COVID-19 right now. Like, how many health specialists are there around? Like, I didn't even realise that. Like, 90% of my friends online are, like, health specialists. Yeah. It's unreal.
Well, you talk about, like, you know, negative impact of something going wrong and, you know, it hits the media. Like, I mean, I use Keyblade and Fixins Blades. They're pretty heavy on Instagram for advertising their blades, for marketing their blades. And then...
What are they?
They're Keyblade and Fixins. It's a UK brand, company, but they basically make blades which suit Maffel, Fez Tool. I think they're bringing out Bosch. Yeah. They've got now the clip for the
style.
Like for planers and stuff, you're talking about? Or
saw blades. More for saw blades. Saw blades, yeah, saw blades, okay. Plunge saws, chop saws.
We're going to dumb it down for the Sparkies.
Shots fired.
But they basically had a guy who posted to his Instagram that he'd had kickback and nearly lost three of his fingers, and they tagged him in it. And I spoke to the guys over, and they're like, fuck, like, what do we do now? They're like, straight on the phone to their lawyers, like, where do we stand? Where do we stand with this? It's our blade, he's done it, you know, should we have had warning on it to say be careful of kickback? Are we covered by the manufacturer's installation? Are we covered by their warranty, their instructions, which says, you know, you should always be cautious of how you use a blade? And so they're like freaking out, thinking, you know, we're 9 months into this blade launch where it costs £50,000 to run a blade. And they're like, have we just killed our business? You know, has that one post killed our business? Then as it was over the next 72 hours, their blade sales went up by like 400%. And they're like, fuck, well, it actually wasn't a negative impact on the business, but they did spend...
But they could use that as a... Like, so what... If it was me in that position, my thought would be then... Forget the company, focus on the person. If that's something that's happened, it may not have been your saw that played that caused the problem. It could have been anything. It could have been him doing something stupid.
It was, yeah.
But
it was,
if your initial reaction is to go out there and support the person that's had the close call,
yeah,
then that's going to make you... It's going to give you that genuine trust. And genuine trust, I think, is what a lot of people...
Want.
Yeah, and it goes with all brands. Every single brand's trying to get you to trust them. So,
do you narrow it down and say, look how clean the cut was?
Yeah,
well, that's what his post was about.
If it was an Australian brand, they probably would have went with it.
It's easy to stitch back on.
He was trying to say, oh, you know, that it was a cut, but look how good the cut was.
Yeah.
And that's what his thing was. You know, they were good with him. Like, you know,
but that's all
he even sent him a message and said, look, do you want me to take the post down? They said, oh, look, no, leave it up, mate. Like, you know, it's an accident. Accidents happen. You know, as long as you make a good recovery and you're okay.
I'll say he posted it as a joke and saying, oh, yeah, look, it cut me, but look how good it was.
Yeah, he was like,
that's the best marketing.
He said, if I was going to cut myself with any blade, this is the blade I'd want to do it with. Look how clean the cut was. They're like, fuck, like, where do we go now? And then suddenly their sales go through the roof.
You know what you do? You offer him a sponsorship.
Yeah.
That's our new brand ambassador.
Blades.
I'll give you the tip.
Yeah. That's how bad news travels far better than good news, doesn't it?
Bad news.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, when it's in. Yeah, so, you know, but they came out the back of it. That's all right.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, yeah, worrying.
So what have been the best performing posts that you guys have put up?
Funnily enough,
your truck.
My truck.
Yeah.
The biggest...
It's a sick truck.
What are we talking? Likes here?
14...
Likes,
I think 1,400 and... Responses? Something likes I got for one post was the biggest. And something like... 25,000 views or something.
And what is it? Give yourself a plug, I suppose. What is it? At Tech Built?
Yeah, just Tech Built. That's the handle. But yeah, it's just the back of my Ford Ranger. So I've got a canopy
in
there.
We can look at it later on.
And basically just kitted it all out. And I don't know why it just blew up like it did, but it did. And then you do the top nine for the year, and I think five of those photos of the top nine were the truck. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yours is similar as well, CJA, of your truck. I think van's been pretty...
Yeah, I've done a little bit to that. Yeah, it's always a work in progress.
Where does the electrical knowledge come from? Just picked up along the way, or have you done... Because I did notice there's a bit of electrical work in your van.
I think it came from when we were travelling. Yeah. We lived in a 1982...
Do you have a licence for that?
It's 12 volt until you hit the inverter.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
But yeah, just from when I was travelling, I think, you know, we had this, like, piece of shit 1982 Toyota Hiace long wheelbase. There's me and my missus living in it every day for a year. And constantly, we bought the thing, it had a Lingle fridge in it. I think we paid $4,000 for the van, and $1,400 worth of the van purchase was the fridge. Do you know what I mean? Like, we had an Lingle 40-litre fridge in it. So we weren't poor as travellers, but we had richness in our kitchen.
Kept the beers cold, that's
so,
it.
So my main thing was, well, I'm going to utilise the luggage rack, and I'm going to put a solar panel in there, so then I'm going to do the wiring. So then I just started to, like, just Google, 12-volt, how can I wire in a solar panel, how can I get it through a solar controller to a ledger battery to an inverter, and it just kind of came from there, really. Pushed on.
Learn from doing it.
Yeah, because that's the only way you can do it.
Experiential learning.
Yeah, change it.
Fucking cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Down the two glasses myself.
Yeah, no, same with me.
What could possibly go wrong?
You started another one as well, didn't you? So you've got All for the Trade.
All for
as well,
the Trade was another one, yeah. So that's about 1,000 and something followers now. But a lot of them I've just kind of reshared stuff from my other page on, but I think there's only about 25 posts or something on it. But that just started off because the company on Instagram that's supposed to represent the carpentry community is an absolute laughing stock. Carpentry Australia. At Carpentry Australia on Instagram is supposed to be the page, the body, the company that is supposed to be bringing the whole kind of industry up and trying to dealing for equal pay and conditions and work and all that. And they're just an absolute laughing stock. Every time they put a post up, it's of something that's either illegal, wrong, or just flat out shit. And so a couple of people kind of touched base with me last year and were just like, look, because I'd just been sharing a lot of stuff on my page, just tips and tricks anyway. I try to keep my page quite varied in the content. I do tools and then I'll do work and I'll do my car and I'll do whatever, just to try and, it is just a reflection of me, basically.
Yeah.
And part of that was putting up a lot of tips and tricks and info and stuff that I picked up over the years, because I've been very lucky and fortunate to work for a bunch of different guys, and some of them have been amazing. I've learned a lot from. So I was just passing on that knowledge at first, and it still is. Most of the time I put something up, I think, oh yeah, this is just common practice. I'm just making it more, just
mentioning it.
Bringing it to the forefront. But every time I put up something, they're like, oh my God, I've never seen that before, or whoa, that's amazing, or whatever it is. And so that's when it prompted me to start this other side page, basically, for people to share them as well. And not just for carpenters, but any tradesperson that has a tip or a trick that people find relevant that you would kind of learn, that you do all the time, or you'd find valuable for someone else, put the little tag on there and then I'll share it. But I think with everything with our trip and family stuff kind of gets in the way, I haven't spent as much energy on that page as I probably should have. I want to do a lot more of it once we hit the road.
So have you found that you've generated work from it?
Not from that page, but from
people you've met or networking, that sort of thing
through my tech build page. I've always been busy. So when I first moved over from Sydney, I had a job lined up before I even got here, and that was through Insta. And then just through networking and people seeing my stuff and seeing how I work and that, I've always just been able to call on someone, hey, do you have any work available or whatever. I have probably done 3 or 4 private jobs off them just for general clientele, but most of the leads has been through networking of people just being able to show the stuff. And I think that's been priceless for me, is that I don't have to prove myself to people. And that's the biggest thing about being a carpenter, who I really take pride in what I do and I try and push the quality and stuff. I don't have to try and teach that first. It's already there. You can see what I do. If I'm the right fit for you, awesome. If I'm not, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend I'm going to be someone I'm not, because you can have guys that are just purely for speed, price, whatever, and that's fine. There's a massive market for that, but I'm not the quickest carpenter. I'm definitely not the best carpenter either.
It's pretty close.
But I've got a very large scope of work that I've either done or I can do, and that is my selling point, and that I like to be able to to flex that.
Well, I think for you, that's your benefit of being trained in New South Wales.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you over there, it's a lot more timber frame and the focus is on timber frame.
Yeah.
It's a very similar setup to the New Zealand style of training and also the UK style of training. But when you come to WA...
There has to be at least one benefit of all those three sort of backgrounds. You know?
Yeah, but... Well, when you mix it up.
It happened to buy about $70,000 worth of tools,
yeah,
doesn't
that,
it?
That shits us to tears. The most amount of tools, but the least amount on site.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy a screwdriver, make a fortune. I'm joking. He's not joking.
He's got one. We're not inviting him back.
You don't make your money when you've got the screwdriver in your hand, but that's when you're in the office.
That's a good question, actually, that was just called in by Leanne. She's interested to hear about time spent on business development and any must-do tips and that sort of thing. So from a tradie small business perspective, what do you guys reckon?
I don't know if you're proactively trying to do business development if you're
only
small.
So for us, this actually is kind of what you're saying, what TechBuild is, and it's kind of like what my page is. It's a virtual resume. So
yes,
this is our brand growing. It's something simple. It's something we can do. It doesn't have to be take a lot of time out of your work.
It's very organic as well.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, Leanne's from Fencing and Gate Co, and they're fairly prolific on Instagram and that sort of thing as well. So, I guess, what's that?
I said, hi, Leanne.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that's it, isn't it?
I tend to hide behind the pictures.
It's a fairly
I'm not proactive in talking because I'm not very confident in talking and what I'm doing. And plus, like, I'm on my own quite a lot. I know with you, like, you're balancing your phone and stuff. It's the same when
I'm just like, look at me stuff that
like,
one.
Yeah,
that one
you know, like, I tried to video myself putting the flashings around the Veluxes the other day when I was up on the roof and I was like, fucking hell, man, this is hard one-handed trying to put the flashing in to slip the flashing in.
I didn't set the camera up for that time when I was working on the pool.
Fell in the
bloody pool the other week. I was like, oh, it would have been something worth watching.
I bet it was fresh, wasn't it?
I suppose it's really how you go about marketing and that sort of stuff would be dependent on your trade, really. Yeah. So I just then trying to think about how a fencing company would do. So you would probably be active after a storm or something like that, you know what I mean? When a lot of fences and that come down. Then. So how would I go about getting those clients?
It also depends on what sort of clients you're targeting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, again.
Like, I know Brad and Leanne pretty well. They do amazing work and they do really, really tight, without typecasting high-end sort of stuff. So obviously they're going to be running around like every single stuff and doing colour-bond fencing all the time.
I think they refuse to do colour-bond.
But they do really, really good work. So it's kind of, I got Brad to do a job for me not long ago, needed something done quick, I was too busy on a site, and they smashed it out in no time, custom-made panels, everything was fucking, it was really mint, really, really
good.
It
is true what you say, though, basically, it doesn't matter what we do on our pages, because that is us, and we are the brand, but sometimes I think it's hard, you know, if somebody says to you, oh, you know, I want you to do this, and you say, oh, yeah, I'll arrange for the carpenter to be there, because, you know, we have our own subcontractors that we might use, you know, when we're a bit easy, and their response might be, I'll want you to do it. It's because their expectation is they're expecting you to be, even though, you know, these guys are equally as good as we are. Like, we're not putting ourselves out there saying we're the best at what we do, get us to do it. You know, like, there are people who are equally as good as us. You know, they might not be as active on social media, but they're as good, if not better than us. And, you know,
with business development, I think it comes down to knowing where you get a lot of your business from, and then being able to then put the energy into that marketing. So some people get a lot of business through social media, others get a lot through having their vehicle stick it up.
Yeah.
A lot of people do from having the sign out the front of every job they do. So just depends on how, if they can get that information back, and there's obviously with being able to get all those statistics and stuff now, it's quite readily available to know where all those numbers are coming from. So you might not even need a social media account. There's some guys out there, especially higher-end builders, that have been around for 30, 40 years.
Well, we hardly have a social media account.
Yeah.
And, like, we post next to nothing. Like, on my Instagram, I think we post anything for about 2 years.
Yeah.
So, but it's almost like your builders and that are probably maybe easier to engage with than your residential customers, because it's such a competitive space.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when someone in the residential sector is looking for someone in the fencing area, they jump on Google and there's a thousand companies pop up, whatever. Whereas for us, because we're after a particular client, we will use other clients that we've worked for as leverage, so recognisable brands.
Yeah.
So what we'll do, we'll say, oh, we've worked for this person, they're similar to who you are, hey, check me out, they were my customer, they're kind of like you should use us as well.
Mm.
Or I will find out who their direct competition is, and then I'll, if I'm having no luck with the client that I want, then I'll find out who their direct competition is, and I'll try and get in there. And then once I, if I get in there, then I'll go back to the other company, because then I'll be like, well, now I'm dealing with your competition. Your competition is, you know, they are your direct competition and whatnot. So they use me. Why wouldn't you use me as FOMO? Almost, you know what I mean? It's like, well, if it's good enough for them, well, it's good enough for me, sort of thing. Yeah. So that's how I go about it.
Yeah. Well, I ended up getting rid of my website purely because I wasn't getting the numbers. Mm. I was paying all this money every year to have a website set up, and I got one hit, and it was for someone to want me to put in a shelf in a kitchen. And I was like,
I'm asking if you're on Airtasker.
Yeah, but and that was basically it. I was just like, well, I've got
thousands of dollars a year.
I've got this Instagram page here that cost me nothing. I'm active on it. I don't update my web page probably as much as I should, because it's a lot harder to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting any leads from it.
But in saying that, I wouldn't say to a small fencing company not to have a website though.
No, where it comes down to your individual circumstance. It wasn't working for me, and so if I do work for someone or I get recommended to someone, I'll just go, look, go check out my page rather than go to my website.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that benefit from a website, absolutely.
But you've got the budget.
Yeah, but you've got the budget, but if you're selling products or something that you want to have all your products listed, and then you can have an online store and all that kind of stuff. Whereas just for someone who just does surface carpentry, it was a complete and utter waste of time.
Mm.
So
I guess that's probably the key things out of there are knowing your client, I guess, for a start, you know, understanding the best way to get them, whether it is through Instagram, social media, or as Daryl said, you know, developing or demonstrating authority through the fact that their competitors use you, or you know, someone of a similar size use you. But I guess that's because that's proving authority again comes through from the Instagram and from the social media side of things, because you can give literal examples of what you do.
Yeah, the other marketplace to flood is Pinterest, because as annoying as shit it is for us when people send you a Pinterest, if you got your fencing images on Pinterest of a pretty front of a house, and you market all your keywords in your Pinterest blog, you can get yourself out there. You know, you use your house account, use your Pinterest, use your Instagram, use your Facebook page, because
that's when it starts getting pretty hectic. But you got to almost have someone.
Because in that instance, you can use Hootsuite. You can use apps which basically run all your social media through. So you can use
Does it all together?
Yeah, Hootsuite. You do one post and it basically just fires it out to all of your social media.
You can set times that it's posted and all that.
Sunday nights are good. Hootsuite.
Yeah.
So, like, social media, perfect time on social media is, you know, your Friday late at night, or, you know, your Sunday evenings when everybody's just sat on the phone bored because you're waiting to go back to work the next night and there's nothing on TV. COVID. Time. Or actually, any time at 6 in the evening, you know, any day of the week, you can put stuff on and flood it. But yeah, don't underestimate, if you think it's going to be a small one, don't be afraid to saturate or diversify into 4 or 5 different aspects of social media. But I'd say don't go with Facebook advertising, because it's
waste of time.
I guess it depends on your target. Yeah. Like, I've had some positive responses off Facebook advertising and versus like other means, obviously. But I know I've sort of stepped back from Facebook and focused more on Instagram at the moment, because I found Facebook's set up for your business to be pretty.
Yeah.
And I like talking about the processes, because that's how I, in my business, is trying to separate myself from the other person. Is this is why you do this, this is why you do it this way, and this is why it has to be done this way. If I post that a lot on Facebook, it floods it with just photos that don't look good. It degrades your brand. You've got to have the money shots on stuff on a and same with house. They don't let you put your progress shots up and stuff. But that's where Instagram's brilliant. I find that you can do the dirty shot.
Yeah.
And it's a dirty shot and people see it, but it doesn't, like, the description's there and it explains to you why this is happening. Whereas on the ones where they just bring a big photo up in a small caption, it kind of
the other thing's like sign writing. I mean, I got a $25,000 job through driving down the Stirling Highway.
Yeah.
And I had the guy ring me up, and I was, literally answer, had a missed call, like, phone ringing, ring, answer the phone, hey, oh, hey, mate, is that CJ? I was like, yeah, CJ from CJ Carpentry. He's like, oh, hey, I'm just behind you on the Stirling Highway. He said, I've been meaning to call you for the last, like, 3 weeks. He goes, I keep seeing your van, keep seeing your van. What are you doing now? I said, I've just left work. It's like 5 o'clock. He's like, cool, can you follow me to a job? Yep, follow him to a job, do a full walkthrough. And he basically, as we're doing the walkthrough on my job, he says, oh, you know, looking at maybe getting this done, getting you to do this. It was on a big, like, multi-million-dollar build. And, you know, they'd got some of the roofing chippies to do some of the fixing preparation, you know, which is never a good mix anyway, you know. And then, so, yeah. So then, you know, you're already on the back foot, but you're walking through the job and you're identifying things to them straight away. And, you know, you're saying to them, oh, yeah, we can do that, but to do that, we're going to have to adjust that. You know, then we can get to this process, but to do that, we're going to have to do this. And
so instantly the client's, like, happy that they engage you because it's like, this is beneficial.
Their mind can see that you're ticking over and thinking about the process to get them to where they want to be rather than the problems that are there. You can work a solution to get over it.
Yeah, overcome.
And that's, you know, $750 to sign and write your van.
Mm.
It's basically made you, you know, $24,250.
That's a really good point as well that's just come up there, and that is that, you know, when you are a one-man band or if you are a small trade-based business,
yeah,
but you need to have presence. The mindset to take advantage of those situations, you know. A, you need to answer your phone.
Yeah.
B, you need to go, you know, well, I'm finished for the day, but yeah, no worries, mate, I'll come down.
Yeah.
Fuck, it might have been a $1,000 job, yeah, you know, but it's turned out to be 25.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as you're walking around, like, you need to have that persona of, like Daryl said, then you've got to solve the problems, not go, I mean, you could do that, but it's fucked or whatever. Like, yeah, just go, mate, if that's what you want, then we can do it. There's no dramas at all.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about the cost of that a bit later on, but it's certainly achievable. I'm not going to be a fucking, you know, downer on it. Yeah.
I mean, you probably know when you walk into jobs and you might walk to a job where it's ready for roof, and then you can cast your eye over the roof and you see that, you know, the plates might not be right. You know, but that's just experience.
Yeah.
You know, that but you're experiencing that as you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, you know, that's wrong, but that's okay, because all we'll do is we'll take the twist out of that and we'll make it work. But
well, I always ask the question, I think that's a big thing for a lot of people as well, especially younger people, is don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't feel like it's going to belittle you or make you look inexperienced by asking questions.
You're going to look more stupid when you fuck it up.
Well, yeah.
knowledge is power, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I want to know as much information as I can, because I don't want to do the job right. Hardly. I want to do the job right for you. Because
yeah,
there's a whole bunch of different ways that it could be done. But
yeah,
it's not interested, because if I'm going to do it my way, it's going to be my result. But I want to know how you want it. And so that way I can make it suit, so you're going to be happy. And I'm going to be happy knowing that you're happy. And being flexible with that is a big thing as well. So.
Well, the other thing coming forward from that is, you know, like, talking about the experience there is when, you know, when we all came out of our apprenticeship and we got sent to our first job, you got the fucking butterflies.
Yeah.
You're literally shitting yourself thinking, I've got to go to this job tomorrow and I've got to do this. You know how to do it, but the nerves are there. And the nerves stay with you, and sometimes that's a good thing. You know, even now you might go to a big job and you might get those nerves, but those nerves just give you that focus to make sure you get the job right.
Yeah,
you know, by having that nervous kind of feeling and thinking, well, you know, I haven't done that for a while. Like, I went and did some Velux the other day and I haven't done any of those for 8 years.
Nerves are sometimes a good sign, though, because it shows you're still concerned about it and you've got passion for it. You know, if you're not nervous, you're just like, oh, fuck 'em, whatever, I'm going here to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a little bit nervous, it means it definitely shows that you are worried about the end product and you're concerned about how you're going to attack it and make sure you're worried you're definitely going to do it right, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I think with Instagram, it's opened up all of these young apprentices coming through and young tradies coming through that they can see. They can see all other experienced tradies out there.
Exactly.
It gives them the platform to just send a DM. Like, I get people send me DMs, and, you know, hopefully, but, you know, I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
I like the fact that people ask you questions about things, because as much as I don't talk too much on Instagram on my story, because I'm boring, to be honest. Like, I'm boring when I'm talking about a process or something, but I'll happily talk behind the scenes. Like, I love it in the morning when Christian's there driving to work and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, today we're just... I'm just like...
I haven't done that for a while because I've got rid of my bloody dock on the windscreen.
But you know what I mean? It's like that. You see a lot of people who might put 50 pieces to their story in a day. And you think,
sorry,
you know, no.
It was a wet day.
if it's productive, it's good. But if it's just a, you know, just for the sake of putting
someone said it to you perfectly the other day, it's like, it's basically you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is my job. This is what I've got to do for the next few steps. And everyone's like, oh no, this is great. I'm like, oh.
And it's cool. I mean, again, like what it does. I mean, and I didn't know. I mean, as we spoke before, I've done a couple of decks, right? Maybe probably better they didn't get inspected. But then I watch your work, I'm like, fuck, I don't do any of that shit.
We're still the same.
Okay.
We're still the same when we look at your decks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know where to fucking start curving a deck board. It's not my bag, baby. No. I just ring you up and go, hey, Bruce, come in.
Bent decks. You had a bent deck picture early on in the week, didn't you?
Yeah. Wasn't intentional.
Yeah. We'll talk about that offline. All right, so what we might do, we might take our first, this probably will be our only caller, but it's fortuitously Trent from Mars and Plumbing, so let's see.
Actually, you cleaned up the pants up before you leave.
Yeah. Did you forget to shut the gate?
Turn the lights off, aircon.
All right, I'm going to see if I can manage to do this. This is really the only reason I wanted to do this, is to have
a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Hamish and Andy.
Yeah. All right, Trent, if you're watching on Facebook, it's fucking delayed anyway, so whatever. All right, let's see how we go.
Oh, we've got 7 people watching us right now.
Yeah, I think we've got a few over here too.
Oh,
two.
Oh, you just
have
you.
Literally, a couple of people watching.
Should have streamed it through one of your fucking... Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, is that Trent?
Hey, Greg.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
Hey, good, man.
Thanks for calling in. Just turn your radio down in the background, please, mate. Hang on, we've got a bit of funny feedback there. Are you sitting in the car? Oh, you there?
Is that better?
Oh, yes. It's heaps better.
So, I had a question.
Hang on, you're breaking up again, mate. Try it again. Go.
Okay. Had a question just in regards to, are the guys there, are you finding that people are asking for deals on a job, as in discount, and are you guys asking for deals from your suppliers?
Oh, you mean in terms of like this whole COVID situation? Are people sort of trying to leverage that to get a better price?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll start with me. No and no. Purely because my work hasn't changed, that is the run-on effect from that. If I was getting pinched from somewhere, I'd probably think about it. But that was... It honestly has never been a thought to come through. So unless... Well, actually, when you go into Bunnings and you've got to deal with all the BS that they've had to put in, I'm always threatening to say, no, make this... I know what your markup is. Cut that in half because this is a joke. But apart from that, that's probably as much as it went for me. You'd probably be much the same.
Yeah, I haven't.
You're struggling with getting product anyway, aren't you?
No, actually, I'm all right at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the brand I do a lot of work with is in plentiful stock here in WA, which is good. In terms of being asked for discounts, one or two here and there, but that's just the standard. Everyone asks, oh, can you do it for cash? Can you do this? Blah, blah, blah. But no, I think I'm leveraging Jason a fair bit for coffees, and that's about it. So
get the caffeine.
Yeah, you can get my coffees off the reps. That's about it. If you bring me a coffee, I'm yours. So.
It's a good currency.
So that's pretty. Nothing really is. I think with the COVID stuff, I think, like we talked earlier, I think it's coming. I think in the construction industry, there's going
to be a delayed effect.
Yeah, it'll come, and there'll be shortages, and then there'll be price hikes, and there'll be price drops, and all that stuff, I think, is ahead of us, especially with the borders not fully opening up yet.
Well, doors are going up 7%.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know. But
door prices are
going up 7%.
So $40 from Bunnings now.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people, when you go to Bunnings, you just pick up your thing, you scan your power pass, and then you leave. But if you actually email Bunnings to their Welsh pool, you need to allow 48 hours for them to get back to you. But if you email for any product that you want, they'll actually give you a better trade rate on it. So you might get your 4.9%. When you pay at the trade counter, but if you email them, you might end up with 16 to 20%.
No, right.
You know, so
you just gotta wait for it.
Well, you just got to allow 48 hours for them to basically get back to you with a price.
Yeah, okay.
You know, yeah. So,
depending on your tradesman.
So you do go to your suppliers and ask for discount?
No, so I mean, not with respect to that, but I mean, I know from previously pricing jobs when I've gone to Bunnings and I've said to them, look, you know, surely you can do better than that. And they say, no, you need to email the trade centre. But they don't tell you that when you open your trade account. They just give you your trade card, give you 4.9% or whatever you get as your rate.
Yep.
But if you actually email, I think it's trades@bunnings.com.au.
Each store should have a trade specialist.
Yeah, but they should.
Because I'm at Ellenbrook. Bunnings is obviously something that you've got to deal with regardless. Yeah. And being in Ellenbrook, obviously, there's not a lot of tools and hardware stores and stuff around. So I'm lucky. We've got a really, really good trade specialist out there, Nicole, who is just across a lot of it. So anytime something that's not a stocked item or whatever, and I need, I can just call them up and ask for it. So obviously you try and support the little guys like US Dollars Tools and stuff whenever you can, but at times it's like you can't get into Aussie Park. So
So for us, look, I wouldn't say we would offer any sort of real discount to our clients. Most of our jobs are quoted anyway.
Yeah.
But look, it's a time of opportunity right now, and I would consider myself an opportunist. So, you know, we're always looking at how do we increase our margins. So I'm definitely, when I'm going to my suppliers, I know that they would be lacking in some areas, so they'll do what they need to pick it up to get a sale in others. So I would 100% take advantage of that, that's for sure.
Jason, are you listening to this?
Well, so the other thing you end up with is, if you know, like if you're doing a display home, like, you know, some of your homes that you've done, they may well become a display home for a while, for a certain period of time, for that builder to showcase.
Yeah.
If you go to your suppliers and say, we're actually building a display home, then sometimes they'll give you product to use in it. Sometimes, you know, they'll offer you just a bigger discount rate. Like, they'll get it out the door.
That comes from the brands themselves as well. So, obviously, they've done a bit with brands like Timbertech and stuff. So, if you've got displays or whatever, they'll sometimes come in and help out with marketing or something like that. So, it's not a... I wouldn't necessarily look at it trying to get discounts. It's more about trying to get support.
Yeah.
So
the consensus for COVID, it's a big old no.
Sorry, mate. Sounds like, because I think most of the boys have had jobs underway anyway, Trent.
We've found
that with the Aussie dollar, that's affected, obviously, the suppliers, which has then affected us because the jobs are already quoted and the gear was already sort of locked in.
Yeah.
In regards to fixtures, but the parts and materials, your little pipe, that has gone up in price. So all the quoted jobs that we've won, we're now losing margin just because of the Aussie dollar. So now we're asking our suppliers to help us out as best they can. And that's the way we're approaching. A bit like Darren was saying, like if there's an opportunity there to try and get the margin back, that's what we're doing.
Just
and I don't know
on
how the other guys have been affected by the Aussie dollar, but I'd say they would have been. I mean, the Aussie dollar is stronger now, but
I mean,
I found that it went down to, I think, 55 cents at one, 57 maybe. Yeah. I can't even remember what it was, but it hit it hard, that's for sure.
Just touching on that though, Trent, when you submit a quote for a price, do you have it dated with a clause underneath saying that as of this date, this price is hold for 90 days or whatever, and subject acceptance of that, and basically your terms of sale with that, or you don't really have that with your business?
No, we definitely do. Yeah. And at the time, we wanted the work, so we were happy to go in at the same price.
Yeah.
So we sort of copped it. And then, obviously, the dollar went down at a stage, so we accepted the job, then the dollar went down, and then the suppliers increased their price, so it sort of hit us there.
In that situation, shouldn't the suppliers have already had stock? So I would have been arguing with the suppliers saying,
yeah, stock you don't.
You haven't, this isn't on new stock, you guys have got this in Australia already, this is the old stock.
Well, I suppose it depends where you are through that project. If it's a 9-month project, you're going to need, say, tap fittings at the end of it, and here we are, COVID at the start, then you know, you're not going to buy them for another 6 months, and I suppose that's when you could get caught up in that situation.
That's right.
But I would be trying to leverage any opportunity I possibly could to save a dollar to increase my margins, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How have your supplies been, Trent?
They've been good. We're all taking a hit. So we'll take some margin. The supplier will take some margin. And even the builder will take some too. So we're all taking a hit to get the job underway and get it done. And I guess the other question that I did have is bad debt. I'm concerned, like at the moment, you sort of getting to bed with the devil most of the time in regards to your builders, because you want the work, and yet you're concerned about whether they're going to go bad, so you don't want to really rock the boat. And I just wanted to know how the guys are going. Well, what are they worried about bad debts? I'd say they are.
Yeah.
And
there's been a few. There's been a few high-end builders that have already folded this year purely on that bad debt, and it is definitely concerning. And if I was hanging around, I'd definitely be concerned about it. But I think with that as well, just be really tight on your contracts, really tight on how much you would kind of let go, because at the end of the day, while you've still got leverage, whilst you've still got work that needs to be done, and the job cannot continue without you finishing or completing that task, you've still got leverage then. So there's no point finishing a job or taking on an additional job with the same builder when there's still money owed, if there's that kind of sniff that there's something bad in the air. Too many people try and do the right thing or too scared to ask that, all right, look, I'm up, you owe me 25 grand, I'm not starting this other job until I get paid this one up square. A lot of people are too scared to do that. And obviously people's business models and the size of the job and your business obviously impact on that. But for smaller guys, you could be bent over a barrel over 10 grand. For bigger companies, it could be 100 grand. But I think the biggest thing I'd say to people, especially at this time, is if you're worried about something smelling a bit fishy, make sure you've got your side of things locked down nice and tight. But also while you've got that leverage, you may as well be using it to make sure you can get squared up as soon as possible.
We had one of my builders basically hit everybody across the board 5%, and that was middle of last year, and that was basically a non-negotiable, but that was to suppliers as well. So they were hitting their suppliers for 5%, but they were also hitting us for 5%. So basically it was put to us as an email of, as of this date we are XYZ,
take it or leave it.
But we were in jobs where we had purchase orders that were previously issued for those jobs, and we're saying, well, these purchase orders predate your 5%.
Yeah, you agreed to that value.
So
yeah,
we can still pull that amount on the invoice. And they were sort of, you know, like very much like, well, you know, which we're reducing our rates to try and keep you guys going, to keep everything moving forward.
We sort of took the approach for our builders recently, or for a builder that we work for. I was concerned around their trading terms. So what we offered them was a discounted rate for a shorter trading term. So we were 30 days end of month. So we took it down to 28 days with a 5% discount. So it helps them with their cash flow and then ensures that we get money in the bank sooner.
Mm. That's not a bad way to get
it. Also, that, don't leave too much money in the job. You know, like if you know you're at a stage where...
Start claiming
early. Not so much early, but, you know, like if your invoice days, say, you know, you go in on a Wednesday, your invoice days on a Wednesday, you know you're going to get paid on the Friday, then, you know, preempt what you're going to finish by that Friday and then pull for that, because then you know you're not going to be in it. Like a good friend of mine who was fixing carpenter as well, we actually were employed by the same guy when I first arrived, not when I first arrived at WA, but after I'd dealt with that arsehole. And we were both working with the same firm, and when that firm basically disbanded, I took one of the builders and he took one of the other builders, and that builder subsequently has gone bust, and he lost about $8,500 on that one.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking that for a fixing carpenter, $8,500 can be quite a big hit on, depending on the size of the job.
So another thing there is really, how do you mitigate that risk by?
That was Trent. Thanks, Trent.
Cheers, Trent.
We'll carry on without you, mate.
How do you mitigate that risk by, you know, not the old saying, don't have all your eggs in one basket, really is really critical. Yeah. But as your business grows, sometimes that can be really hard, because you'll get a client that'll be like, oh, here's more work and more work and more work. Yeah. And before you know it, that's 90% of your income. So
They say that 20% is the benchmark for that. Like, if
they can really have you by the balls there when that's where most of your income is coming from, is one client. So you have to be very, very careful.
It's offering you the poison apple kind of thing. It's just like, what do I do? Especially if you're young and you're not experienced with that, it seems very tempting.
And that was a point that I wrote down when Trent started talking about bad debt and going into a bit more discussion, something that I think young people fall into the trap of. Well, not young people, I shouldn't say that. Just like people new to business, is the fact that when you get a job, you need to consider what it's going to cost you and the time frame that money is going to come in over the course of that job. Like, it's all very good and well to get a PO for an $85,000 job, but if that's a three-month job, where's your expenses? Yeah. You know, you need to do a timeline for that job to say, well, am I going to have the cash flow in order to facilitate that? And what are the ramifications if I can't hit those milestones? You know, there's things like liquidated damages and everything else that, if you haven't read this fine print because you don't know to, and you, then it's a massive massive issues that guys can fall into.
I think that to add to that is, I think one of the other things is being prepared to say no is one of the hardest things. I've done it. I did it last year again. I had a job come up and I was like, I shouldn't take this job. It was just alarm bells were ringing. I took it anyway and I kept doing it, and it just sort of went sour the way I didn't want it to end, pretty much. So it's, if I just said no at the start, that would have been a headache that would have went away, I think, for my sake as well as for business sake. So sometimes you got to be prepared to say no to that money, even though it may sound good, may look good.
If it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
No, I suppose the other alternative, again, is insure your debt. So as you get bigger and bigger and you start to, you know, more people owe you more and more money, then you really need to look at starting to insure your debt.
Mm-hmm. When you were in New South Wales, obviously when you were working in New South Wales, did you find that it was easier to manage the jobs when you're on them because a lot of the carpentry was in-house? You know, with the aspect of the way you do things, you know, you could get the kitchen, you'd install the kitchen, you're the kitchen installer, you're the fixer carpenter, you're the framer. So therefore you're in control more of your own not just the time scale and your scheduling on the job, but also the finished product. Whereas you come over here and then you've got, you know, you've got a roof chippy and then you've got a fixing carpenter, but then you've also got a framing chippy and then you've got, you know, like a cabinet maker, and you know, suddenly I'm booked in to do a fix. You know, and I've got like 600 linear metres of skirting to do there on a rate, which, you know, might not be the best rate.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're delayed because the kitchen installer hasn't installed the kitchen, so there's no kick plates in. Sometimes the builder might say to you, just install the skirtings, and you know for a fact that kitchen installer is going to go there and not use a multi-tool, he's going to rip your skirtings off. So then you've got to go back and you're saying to the builder, I don't want to put the skirtings on. They're saying to you, put the skirtings on, then you go back, you charge them again to put the skirtings on. Why have I got another bill for the skirtings? Well, because I told you this was going to happen. But you didn't listen to me.
That's the foresight. While the house next door was being built, basically the guys who were doing the eave lines and that went through and put all the I'm not a roofer, that's why I stay on the ground. The apex bit in and they hardy sheeted it all up, and the guys come through to put some other parts in there, and they had to like rip it off. So the guy's just smashing it with a hammer, pulling it all off, get it all done before the guy had to come back and redo it. So
I think that comes out to rate, so.
Yeah, because the guy's like, I'm not coming back to put this tiny little triangle piece of stuff in, I'm just going to do it now and then go away. And then someone rips it out because
the part
was skipped, yeah.
I think that's, again, when it comes back to pricing at the start, when the biggest hurdles is people going off rates. I don't have the same rate that I apply to every job. I have a calculator. I've got like an Excel spreadsheet that I go, all right, my cladding is $80 a square, or my this is whatever framing, $45 a metre for framing, whatever it is. But then I'll then go back over that job and I go, all right, that section's going to take 2 weeks for two chippies. That's going to take that. And then as long as that kind of balances out, you know you're on the right page. But at the end of the day, it's very rarely when you'll do a job that your labour rate isn't what the material cost is as well. So usually as a rule of thumb, or when it's on a bigger build, you can kind of go off a square metre build for the house. Yeah. So if it's like 2,000 a square, 2,500 a square, whatever, you can quickly work all that stuff out. But that rate also has to include all your insurances, all your overheads. Your guys, your super, your workers' comp. Obviously, so the smaller guys.
And your profit.
Yeah.
And your sick days that you're not getting. Yeah. All the other shit.
But the smaller guys benefit from the larger mobs because they don't have the overheads. So, yes, they can be cheaper, but you should also be able to be making more profit because you don't have all that to worry about.
Usually it's a race to the bottom with those guys.
Yeah, exactly, that's the problem. It's a race to the bottom. So I quoted a job 3 weeks ago where my price was nearly double what the next price was. So it was on a triplex. I come in just shy of $60,000 to do everything from structural floor, frame, roof, and then all second fix. But I knew for a fact that the builder wasn't getting everyone to do the whole scope, because you can't get most people to do the whole scope. You'll get one to come in and do the framing and the roof, and you get the next person to come and do the second fix. But I was like, look, I can do both, so I'll price it, broke it down, itemized, come in at $57,000, and then next called up, are you sure you're pricing the right job? Well, I'm pricing what you've emailed me. There's a lot of stuff on this plan that I'm putting a question mark on because you don't always have all the info. But from my experience, I know that that's going to take a lot. Like Brio sliders.
Yeah.
There was like 8 Brio sliders in the whole door. So they're like the zero clearance one that don't have a helmet across the top. Yeah. That basically just goes straight up the ceiling. if everything isn't bang on,
sliding doors, you mean?
Sliding doors, like cavity sliders. Yeah, if they're not bang on, they're an absolute, they're a prick of a thing anyway. Yeah. But if then, if the job leading up to it, if the brickwork isn't true and the person who put the head in isn't true, they can be an absolute nightmare. It can take you 2 days just to do one door.
Mm.
So straight off, like, you go 8, well, there you go, there's an increase there. But then the builder was like, you know, I've got 3 guys less than 30. I was like, all right, well, that's fine. Thanks for the opportunity.
Go nuts.
And he's like, oh, can you adjust it? It's like, I can't adjust nearly
halving my price.
30 grand. I was like, when you go through and you start breaking things out, it's 30 grand for the front part of the job. I was like, just because you undercook the quoting and you haven't taken those things into account doesn't mean you're bending over people over to get them down. But there's people that are desperate for work, so they're just going to say, all right, sweet, I'll start the job, I'll get halfway through the job, I'll realise I'm not going to make any money, and then they're going to try and scratch out with additional costs and stuff, and you're already
on the back
foot.
And the quality will go to shit.
Yeah,
Full sandy one I was telling you about. I quoted, it was like a full strip sand of a deck and re-oiled with Q-Tech, and we were sitting at about 65 a square metre. I was out in Brigadoon. And then this lady was like, oh, no, I've got another quote. And this guy was like, $20 a square metre. And I was just like,
He was 65.
Yeah, and he was at 20 a square metre. I was just like, look, honey, I can't even buy my materials for that. Sorry. See you later. I was like, there's no way I could do that.
Well, I think we're just ticked over 2 hours, boys, so it's probably not a bad place to wrap it up. What, just quickly, what's... timber or plastic? What's the better material? No, we're at 2 hours. We won't get into that now.
In fairness, I do love timber decking. Don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to timber. I just do like my synthetic. I'm lazy. I don't like maintaining things. So if I can put something,
and you know that most people are as well. So
yeah. So if I can put something down that's got a 50 year fade and stay warranty, and it's going to look amazing for the next 50 years.
The maintenance free way is the way things are definitely going, isn't it?
WA is pretty big for composite market. It's although our population isn't that good, our desire for it's probably a lot higher than even on the East Coast. A lot of the guys on the East Coast are like, oh, no one asks for it here. But their sales obviously dwarf us because of population and stuff. But yeah, the trend is there, and it's coming a lot more. And I think I'm hoping as well with the architects, if they're listening, that they're starting to realise what you can do with it is a little bit more design focused than what you can do with timber.
Mm, so, absolutely.
Like, so with the bending side of things.
Yeah. So you can't bend a 140 wide deck plank to
unless you buy it from Bunnings. That's pre-bent.
No, you can bend it.
I'm not going to lie. I have bought a twisted framing timber once
just for that purpose
because it was curved the right way. That's going to work wonders for a fascia.
You can definitely bend it in the terms of have like handrails around curved staircases. Yeah. That's all solid timber. That's all bent. But the trick with that is you cut in the very thin strips, you then bend it with about 5,000 clamps and glue it all together.
Yeah. Or the other way is a steam bend, and I've seen them steam bend teak, but you compare, like, I can bend a PVC deck board in an hour, whereas to do a teak handrail and bend it, you'd be it's a long, long time. I actually watched a guy waterfall end a timber bent it, like steam bent a timber waterfall and on a bench, it was insane. But yeah, like the time and effort for it in order for payoff is not there. But with the new materials that are coming out and the better quality materials that are coming out, the design features that you can do. I mean, the outdoor living obviously is always something that we've had that's pretty big here, but I think the focus is growing a lot more. You'll see a lot of the designers are focusing on like fire pits and stuff at the moment. You're seeing that's a bit of a trend, especially with the weather. And staying inside with COVID, it's hopefully going to be something that sort of recaptures everyone's ideas.
You guys would have found that heaps with the influx of LED technology as well, being able to do stuff that was never possible.
When you
the automation maybe is probably more, that's what you guys would be looking at, the phone.
Yeah, so now what you're seeing is a lot more, like prior to popularity-wise, maybe two years ago, if you wanted home automation, you were looking at really expensive things C-bus. Like semi-commercial, like C-bus and that sort of thing. But now we've got the influx of, just about every major brand has got their own version of retrofittable Bluetooth, Wi-Fi meshing sort of
smart home
stuff. You know, most of the stuff now is something that's, you know, like a Bluetooth mech that would go behind a light switch.
Yeah.
and then it creates that mesh in your house. So, you know, that'll interact and feed off another one that's within 15 metres. So,
and now everything just is Bluetooth compatible, you know what I mean? Whether it's Alexa or Google Home or, your mobile phone, every light switch or something you plug into your PowerPoint, it's just ridiculous. So it's just like...
Yeah. And it gives you that low-level sort of building management system as well, where, you know, a lot of the power-driven stuff is also a power meter integrated into it. So then you can see all of a sudden that, we've used X amount of kilowatt hours in the TV while it's been sitting off, and all that sort of shit. So.
But the problem with that is comes DIY. You can go to Bunnings, you can take this light globe out and put in a Bluetooth light globe, essentially, and that. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting space, that's for sure.
It's creeping in, for tech, obviously the guy in the know about it, it's creeping into your tools as well. It's creeping everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere. So you've got Bluetooth controlled tools that turn on and off, and you've got
talk leveling and talk limiting.
Bosch with their Wi-Fi phone app that connects to the tool app, and controls the tool.
Lights and all that kind of just stuff. Everyone's doing that. Stuff, DeWalt with their dust extractions the same. So there's definitely a place for it, but then there's other stuff. It's also like wank factors.
There's probably more wank factor than
I don't need to change the speed of my drill with my phone. I don't need to. It's either flat out or it's not.
It's two speeds, and that's
all. Just feather the fingers. Yeah.
I was going to say something, but I'm not. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
All right, and then the last one. So what's the next Instagram thing for carpentry? Obviously, last year was river tables and resin-filled fucking...
Concrete's been big.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Tell us about that concrete job you did.
The bench?
Yeah.
Come up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
The concrete is my, actually the house I'm building now has a concrete roof, just exposed concrete roof.
Yeah, sick.
So going something different. Bit of a commercial.
timber and concrete furniture is the next river table phase, I reckon.
Or bending.
Bent decks.
I think I've bent furniture.
It's been a while.
Dan's 10 years in front of everyone. Yeah.
I don't. It's hard to predict because you don't know what people's styles are going to get, because a lot of that impacts people's.
PVC trim work, I think it's going to be massive here. Proper PVC trim work, Hampton style stuff.
Well, UPVC is like massive in the UK.
External stuff. Post wraps are probably the coolest thing, and the Americans look at us like, you look like caveman. Post wrap. So you just put a 90x90 timber post and you wrap it with a PVC and you turn it into a 112 or a 240 beam with custom
corval
locked in and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I saw a post the other day, I don't know how he's managed to do it, but they laminated it, mate. So you know where you go through Mount Lawley and see all those concrete little corval things PVC.
Yeah,
right. Never break down, lifetime warranty on it. You can paint it, you can do whatever you want to it. It looks amazing and it's gonna last a lifetime almost. So I think especially here with the harsh conditions, when you're doing like timber work where the timber dries out and frames, and then you've got to go through and sand it all back and prep it back.
I think your eaves and stuff need to be UPVC
rather. From an environmental perspective, though, I'm against it. Purely because no one lives in the house for 100 years. No one lives in their grandfather's house. And so when you're saying people are living in the same house for 7 years and then they're moving on, what happens to that house?
The beauty is that stuff can be fully recycled.
But so, people don't.
That's not the problem.
Almost every building material can be recycled, but you've got a skip bin out the front that's full of everything from timber offcuts to rubble to concrete to brick to plastic, and it all just goes into landfill.
But a lot of that is down to the lack of development and lack of money that's been spent by the government or an outside company to actually recycle.
Yeah,
it's definitely an interesting topic, that's for sure, isn't it? The sustainability of building.
Yeah.
Well, I think you'd probably do a full podcast.
Yeah,
well, I know Deb's pretty keen on it. Deb Wingcup from Spreading Rumours. She's all about sustainable building now and that sort of stuff.
A lot of companies are doing the same thing. So obviously, in the decking space, a lot of the companies are focusing on that eco thing. So I know Timbertech. I don't have the exact details off the top of my head, but I know Timbertech, for every PVC board they were making, there was like a forest
plenty
or something,
a tree,
free plantation sort of thing. So for every board that they make that's PVC, you're not cutting down tropical rainforest to do EPA hardwood, So like it's one or the other, Like you can either make a PVC board that's going to last ages and have troubles with breaking down, but your tropical rainforest in the Amazon's not being chopped down.
Yeah, but then it's such a huge thing to look at, isn't it? And then it's what happens to the plastic, though, once it's no longer a thing.
You're banning plastic bags at Coles, but you're putting plastic all over your house.
So. Yeah, and then, where does that plastic end up is the bigger thing. So are we better off cut the tree down and do another one, or do we deal with the plastic problem at a later date?
At least you can use Jarrah floorboards for firewood,
If you can somehow get like all technical with biology, you somehow make hardwoods grow in 10 years and still have a structure in 10 years.
Yeah, so that's the other thing.
Plantation pine, but you got
I did read an article pine. That there was a, it was a long, long time ago, but there was a company, I think they're in Japan, who developed a bacteria that eats plastic. So the aim was to try and
fill the oceans with it.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if they heard of the dung beetle and the cane toad, but I'm not sure how well it's going to go.
Yeah, they worked well, didn't they?
But you want to be in the ocean with a golf club.
obviously, there's people that are looking into that sort of stuff. So
before you don't have no fish left because the bacteria ate all the fish.
Very barrel of uncertainty.
That's what it is, mate.
All right, boys. Well, that is just over 2 hours. So, again, thank you. We'll do another shout-out to our sponsors. So, thanks to Trent for calling in and letting us use his boardroom.
Appreciate it.
Thanks to Dan from West Oz Tools for providing the coolers for our drinks. Thanks to Andrew and the team at John's Building Supplies for supplying the drinks to put in the coolers.
Thank you.
And thank you to Tim from Safe Style Eyewear for providing everyone will have a pair of those specs, and he's got
appreciate it.
Yeah, I fucked that up, sorry. But I was going to say, so respectively to all of the listeners, just so we've got Christian at TechBuilt. Are you going to do a separate one for your travels, or are you just going to keep it?
I'm just going to merge it all together. Yep. I'm taking the tools on the road with me, so I'm going to do work when I need to, but I'm just going to try and do. It's not going to be some travelling family page. No. I'm not the next trip in a van or anything like that.
Oh, good.
But I just want to keep it relevant, but also keep it interesting. So
I think so. It'll be good for people to follow. You know.
Yeah, like I want to touch base with people as I go around and just be able to do a site crash kind of thing and just be like, look, this is someone, give them a prop, obviously use the exposure I've got, and be like, look, I'm going to pop in and see such and such, they do this, blah, blah, blah. So that way I'm not actually doing the work, but I'm still putting out content and...
Yeah, it's the right way power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and elevate other people at the same time, because I want to be able to do more for other people than for myself. So.
Very good. Thanks, mate. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Bruce, Donegan Dex.
Donegan Decking, yep.
Donegan Decking on Instagram.
Yep, Facebook.
Facebook.
Yep.
And
How's Twitter, Snapchat?
Nah, How's, yes, Twitter, no.
What is How's? How is that?
CJ's
the guru.
Special platform for, it's supposed to be high-end, not even high-end.
It's not high-end.
It's supposed to be...
Bespoke.
Specialised in the home thing, is what they were trying to advertise. That's what they said to me. So I'm not 100% sure. It costs a lot of money, though. But yeah, definitely on How's. So if anyone is on there, give us a review.
All things decking, specialising in bent decking.
Yeah.
So, and CJ?
Just CJ Carpentry.
CJ Carpentry.
Anything Carpentry.
On everything,
really.
Good stuff.
Whatever you want.
And Daryl.
And mine are 12-volt system.
Mm. And to you.
And solar.
Solar
fans. Yeah, taking my work away from me.
Daryl at CDI Energy.
That's it.
Royalty Plumbing and Gas. And that's it.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, guys. Well, that's the end of the podcast. That'll be the end of the live feed. So thanks to the revolving seven people that were watching and Instagram behind us. That's just been ticking over. So very good. All right, boys. Thanks for the evening. Thanks for coming down.
Appreciate it.
I look forward to, staying in contact with everyone. And
Keep all the best. Chat,
man. That's it.
Beautiful.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tradie HQ podcast. For more information, head to tradiehqwa.com.au and follow us on Facebook at the Tradie HQ podcast group. Have a great day.